What's up, everyone? It is episode 3, Benchwarmers. Zach and Quinn back at you. Quinn, let's just jump right into it, buddy. Football's back.
It's amazing.
It's the best time of the year, man.
I mean, and it's, and like, I think we've talked about this before. When you are playing, it's almost like, okay, so like, I always watch the NFL, mostly just Charger games.
Yeah.
But I mean, I usually NFL Sunday, it's a good time, you know, recovery day starts at noon for NDSU on Sundays. And usually the games are going in the hot tubs and the cold tubs and, you know, everything like that. But when you can just like go to the game or watch the game at home, the NDSU game, and then after that, you just have like 6 more hours of football.
Yeah.
And like college football is so much crazier than the NFL, you know, i.e. the LSU Florida State game.
Yeah.
This past weekend. So like, that just makes the experience of just sitting down and watching a full day of college football so much better, because you just never know what's going to happen. But it just feels great to be back in the fall and having games on the weekends.
Yeah, I mean, up until I was playing in college, I was huge on football weekends, obviously playing Friday nights in high school. But, you know, going to high school games Friday nights as a middle schooler, elementary kid, and then sitting down watching college football all Saturday. And then going in and, you know, just watching a abysmal Vikings-Lions game Sunday, because Reddit streams weren't a thing back then. But I was upset. I've always been a college football guy over NFL. Went to College Game Day when I was in Fargo as a middle schooler. Like, I just love the theater of it all. You know, you get the marching band, you get the cheerleaders, you get the colors, everybody's rowdy, fired up, especially in Fargo. I mean, if I was a Vikings fan or grew up in somewhere where it was a bigger market, I'd probably feel a little differently. But in college, it was just taking the weekend to not watch football was such a relief for me, just because you're so immersed in it all weekend and all week, basically. So just getting a day to, you know, watch something on Netflix that isn't football, or hang out, get outside and do something other than that. That's how I felt during football.
And like Friday nights, because like, you know, then it's like, okay, so Friday nights is the night before the games. You have walkthroughs and meetings till like 8 o'clock. So like, you're going home, and I'm not even watching it, but like, me and you on the road. I mean, we can get into that a little bit later, yeah. But like, me and Willis were in 2019. We were roommates, room buddies, whatever you want to call it, for away games that year. Roombas. And like, yeah, our tradition is just watching a crappy Pac-12 game until 11 o'clock.
Pac-12 or ACC or yeah, something. Yeah. Like, I think it was like
UNC Wake Forest. UNC Wake Forest. Where the guy didn't run out of bounds with like 1 second left, and he just went down. And we just looked at each other, and I think I don't even know if it was Wake Forest or UNC who did it.
It was. It was.
Right, and but do you know who was the team?
Oh, UNC didn't get out of bounds. Mac Brown is like losing his mind on the sideline.
He's like 85. Like, that could literally kill him, a mistake like that.
Yeah, I think the running back backed out of bounds, which you can't do to stop the clock or something like that. It was just, it's the worst ending to a college football game. And we loved it. We sat there and laughed for like an hour. Yeah.
So like a home game. So like, I'll throw that on, but like, I'm really not paying attention to it. And then Saturday, I mean, meetings start at 9, pregame. So, like, even those, you know, Illinois at Indiana, 10 a.m. starts, you're not even watching those.
Yeah.
And then you're going straight into the game at 2:30. You're getting done with the game, and you're going out with your family to eat after the game. And then, like, you might go over to one of the boys' house before you're going out. And, like, you know, there will be a good game on TV, like the Herb Street and
Fowler.
I mean, they'll have that game on.
Yeah.
But, like, you're not even watching that. Yeah. So, like, you really just miss it. I mean, the only year I really remember watching, like, FBS games was 2019 because of Burrow.
Sure.
Like, you had to watch LSU play.
Yeah. Because
they were so, like, dynamic.
15 touchdowns in a game. It was just something you had to watch. I think, well, guys like us get to the facility early and, you know, get taped up and get ready, basically. We were ready 3-4 hours before the game most of the time. And in the team room a lot of the time, they turn on College Game Day, which I always loved. You can't beat College Game Day, man. There's just, I don't know what it is. Like, Corso is a million years old, and he could just, like, absolutely go loose cannon and say something that he shouldn't say.
Well, then it's, like, the signs in the background.
Oh, yeah. And then you'll get, like, Katy Perry up there talking about how she loves Matt Corral or whatever it was.
Jack Harlow. Jack Harlow was the celebrity guest picker. Like,
yeah.
And they had their, I'm screaming into the mic.
It's okay.
They had their like 15 or 20 year national championship reunion with guys like AJ Hawk and Maurice Claret.
Those are your guys too. Yeah. You love AJ Hawk.
Well, it's like you had like a national championship reunion team there for the weekend, and your celebrity guest picker at Ohio State was Jack Harlow, who's like notably a Louisville fan. Like he's from Louisville.
Yeah. That so I thought all of that was weird.
Weird move altogether, but that's the, you know, college football, baby.
Yeah, everything's weird. You know, personally, besides the Bison, I cheer for Notre Dame, and I was texting the Bison Report football staff group chat, and it is just horrific to watch. Nobody can tackle. It's just I'm not going to sit here and do, you know, put all my sorrows on everybody about Notre Dame football, but it's just, I mean, you get our guy Jeff Culhane on the call for the blocked extra point, man. It's just so awesome. You don't get that passion in NFL.
I think it was Dudzik's tweet, because like everyone saw the play happen, and then I was on Twitter immediately, and Dudzik was like, need the clip of Culhane, and then like 5 minutes later someone, you know, put the clip of him out there. I'm like, that's perfect.
By the way, just a magnificent call. The only guy that I'd want to make that call,
yes,
got to make that call. Shout out to Florida State. That's a big win for them. Let's talk about Drake. Not really the nuts and bolts. You just got done doing the BR recap. You guys will hear that later. You know, it's just kind of that the first game stuff. You get the jitters for the guys who are either, well, just jitters in general. It's everybody's first game of the season, but the guys who are coming off injury or that are freshmen or first time starting, you start to see the cramps and the throwing up and all that stuff. The stuff that makes Kramer mad, and he starts throwing water bottles and Pedialyte at you.
Who was it? Who was
Courtney
it?
Eubanks.
Oh, my God. When he came off the field and you literally just see Kramer chuck that water bottle at him. You know what that probably was? Earlier, there was probably a time where, like, I actually don't know Courtney at all, but like there was probably a time earlier where he was like tightening up a little bit and Kramer saw it and was like, drink some water. And then he was like, no, I'm good. So then he probably came off and Kramer was like, you better drink water.
I guarantee you another factor, like you said, I think I don't know if I played with Courtney.
Well, part of my thing is I think he was actually a true freshman in 2020. My apologies to all those guys, but like everyone knows what 2020 was like. It was not my prerogative to get to know the true freshman that year, because we were in and out of there within like 2 months.
My prerogative was to stay alive during 2020.
Well, and it was just like my main thing was just to hang out with like the upperclassmen that I knew really well before it all came crashing down, which inevitably we all knew what happened. So a lot of those guys I didn't know. The only one I think I kind of knew was Stoffel.
Sure.
Because he was like taking reps with the ones and stuff.
Yeah. Stoffel gave me an all-time nickname. He called me Fat Walmart. I don't even know what that means, but he called me Fat Walmart his entire freshman year when I was with him. But
it's not bad.
It's
like a good like Xbox name.
Fat Walmart. Yeah. I'm going to put that on a t-shirt. But I guarantee Courtney was like 1 or 2 pounds light on like a Tuesday.
Yes.
And Kramer was just like, that's what happens when you're light.
Yeah.
Just throwing Pedialytes at him. But, you know, it was the slow start on defense and stuff like that. And, you know, I think they just do it to get everybody riled up so they can come back and do what they do. But
yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. It's all on purpose. They definitely wanted to give up a touchdown to Drake.
Right.
The first drive of the year.
Like
a 10 play.
Right.
Perfectly executed.
By the way, Drake did not want to score. They threw that bomb to the receiver and he just ran out of bounds. It's like, you didn't want to score, buddy. Like,
yeah,
I mean, it's the first time the defense has seen live bullets. I'm not concerned.
And if you want, like me and Ross talked about it, I think that'll come out before this does, but like if you want like a formal answer, it's first game stuff. I mean, you have so many guys playing that, you know, I think the linebacker core is super new guys like, Kubitz and
Wirtz and Wadarczyk, they're all.
And then the Hillsborough kid.
Yep. Oscar Benson.
Yeah.
And then Logan Kopp is kind of showing himself to be a dog, too. It's all stuff that you don't want to call it preseason because it matters and it counts for the record, but it's like we're just figuring out who's going to play, what schematically we can run, what works for this football team, because it's different year to year.
Yeah, and like it's run fits, it's everything, it's communication, especially linebackers. I mean, I'm going to double up here. I said it on the other pod, but there was a clip of Levi Jordheim and Marlette, their senior year, that I think someone posted on Twitter or Facebook, and it's the two of them lined up together. They both do a signal to the left with their left hand. They take like three steps to the right, a step to the left, a step forward, and then signal something behind their back with their right.
Yeah.
Simultaneously.
Yeah.
So like the guys are going to get to that point eventually.
Yeah.
But it's the first game of the year with a lot of new starters and a lot of guys that just have never played next to each other.
That's just a reps thing.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of those guys that are out there, like you said, haven't played next to each other. And a lot of them haven't seen live bullets with a full Fargo Dome crowd.
Yeah. It's
hard to communicate out there on defense.
It's been 9 months since the last snap, or eight months.
I'm not at all concerned. We won by 42 or whatever it was. Yeah. It's I think we'll be okay.
Yeah. Going into like that first game of the year stuff though. I mean, luckily I don't think I ever was a part of the, I think ever since 2016, the first game of the year has been a home opener. Is that right?
Yeah, off the top of my head, I can't think of one.
Iowa was outside, third game of the year.
Yeah.
Like, think like, so something that always happens is, like we said, the cramps.
Yeah.
I mean, it drives Kramer crazy because we do like a lot of stuff that preps for that. And like some guys are just crampers.
Mm-hmm.
Like they could eat all the salt, drink all the water, drink all the Pedialyte.
They're just gonna cramp.
They're just gonna cramp.
Yeah, and I was on the opposite end. I like no matter what I did, I never cramped through high school.
I think I did once.
College. Yeah,
like maybe one time.
It's not fun, man.
No, and it was because like I got like bent up on a play.
Yeah.
So like it was like more like a, you know, it was more
response
like a,
to an injury.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's never been like a. Which was is kind of crazy because I did not drink enough water to not cramp.
Buddy, that's a topic for a different podcast.
Right. So, like, but that just plays into, like, some guys, like, they just cramp. But, I mean, yeah, you're getting all that out of your system, too.
I think an underappreciated part of all of it is people don't understand, like, it's hard to breathe in the Fargo Dome. Like, there isn't air circulating. You're not outside. It's 70 degrees or whatever it is, so you get that. But it's just... It's the whole part of it. You hear the band, the fans are there. You're strapped up. You have your chest pad or your shoulder pads as tight as you can get them. And then, you know, you're finally playing college football. You're living out your dream. And
you're headbutting each other, like in the tunnel, getting ready to like go out.
Yeah. Me and Loop Gear, like smashing face masks into
me and Kubis always did.
Yeah.
But yeah. Like it's just all these first game things you think of. I think next week, I mean, we're not the prediction show, but I just feel like you, something that will definitely be cleaned up. I don't think there will be a 10 to 12 play opening touchdown drive on the defense.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Because that's going to be something to just ram down their throat.
I would imagine that'd be a point of emphasis with Coach Braun and Coach Hentz this week. Let's a couple guys who hardly saw action in the first half, you and I. Buddy, those Rice Krispies during halftime. Those hit so different. I don't know who makes them. I don't know where they come from, but it is the best Rice Krispie I've ever had.
Yeah, so.
Were you a banana guy?
Depended on the day.
Sure. Because,
like, I don't even eat bananas now. Yeah. I say that, but I had one this morning.
So you do eat bananas.
Kendra told me, she's like, here. She's like, you have to eat this.
Listen to your
like,
wife. Yeah. Listen to your wife.
You listen to your wife.
Yeah.
But, it just depended.
Sure.
I mean, I would eat one if, like, I would eat one if the Rice Krispies hadn't gotten there at a decent time. Because I'm like, I don't know if I'm even going to get one.
Yeah.
But if you want to talk about the Rice Krispies, let's talk about the pressure you felt to either. I mean, I always did, but like, you didn't take. I mean, I took because I was always on punt. So like, let's say I take two punt snaps the whole first half.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to be the first guy to reach into that Rice Krispie. I better see like I'm like looking across from me to see like if a guy that didn't play any, I'm like,
yeah,
okay, if he grabs one, then I'll grab one.
Oh, I was automatic get one, but it was only if Perk was handing them out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, give me one.
Right.
The real psychos are the guys who will double up.
Ooh.
And you know, whatever's, unless you're playing, like obviously if you're in.
Eat four.
Yeah. Eat as many as you want. Carson Schoening would have ate the entire box if somebody didn't stop him.
Since we're bringing up halftime stuff, I don't know. I don't think we'll have to cut this out, but like,
I hope not, because I don't know how to do that.
Big shout out. We got a big shout out from our guy Cordell during the Bison report show. I didn't listen to it, but Cordell, we talk about guys who like, you're either a cramper or you're not.
You're either a puke guy or you're not.
The noises I would hear coming from the corner of the bathroom. Coming out of Cordell's mouth,
dude,
it almost made me throw up.
Yeah,
like that meme where like guys are like where like people are throwing up, and then like someone else sees someone throwing up, so then they start to throw up. Yeah. That was like me every halftime.
It's like that Family Guy scene. Like when Stewie starts to barf, the whole family starts. Dude, I'm not a puke guy. I never puked from like working out too hard, nothing like that. But when I heard Cordell going, man.
That first time.
Yeah, and it's like, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter if we were up by 50 on Western Illinois, Cordell was barfing, or if it was the middle of SDSU game where we're down by 7. Cordell's barfing.
And what's funny about that is, because like 2019, that was the first year he started, right?
Yeah.
2018, we had all the seniors. Mm-hmm. So 2019, I think it was new to everyone.
Yeah.
I don't even think Cordell knew that was a thing. Because then we're like at halftime during the first home game, and it was just like, I think Cordell, we came into the locker room, and he was like, where's the garbage can?
Yep.
And then like, it was like a funny thing, because like immediately after that, he was like, fine.
Yeah.
And then it's like the next game, same thing.
Yep.
And then we're 15 games deep, and then we're like, you know,
I guess semifinals. Violently barfs at halftime.
Yeah, so like it was just a thing. Like Blazek would come in with the clipboard. He'd be like, Cordell's back there. And we're like, yep. And he's like, all right. And then he starts going. Because like Cordell would be like, he'd be in the spot like right past where the last locker is, and then like right before the bathrooms. Mm-hmm. He would bring the garbage can so that he could see Blazek writing on the board while he's just like getting the demons out.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, please just go handle your business and then come back. But it was like anything he missed, we'd fill him in on when he came back from his trip to the garbage can. I was never that guy, I guess. Even like I said, even when I did play, I was never, you know, play so hard you get sick, which is probably part of why he's. I cannot wait for Joe Burrow to hear Cordell bark. Oh my god, dude!
Cordell's like. I imagining halftime, the NFL's a little different. I mean, I imagine like they probably chill a little bit.
Yeah,
they're probably not as close together.
I think it's a longer like, halftime in a circle. Too.
It's longer, and then guys are probably spread around a little bit more. But like, let's just say that they're set up the same way NDSU is, and Cordell's between. Lyle Collins and that
Jonah Williams
or like the center the grass or whatever.
Yeah,
Cordell's literally like 10 years younger than these guys, and like it's his first game. They don't know him well enough to know this is gonna happen, and then he just lets one go. Like they're just gonna be like the meme of the guy like shaking his head wide open, like just in total shock, and they're gonna be like, you all right, and he's just like, oh yeah, I'm good. Like,
this is
what needs to happen.
Shout out to our guy Cordell, man. Yeah. He's the best. Let's take a break here. Let's chat about Tundra Insurance, my man.
Yeah. You can find us in Horace next to Big Herbs. And you can also reach us over the phone, 701-969-1661.
Love it.
And then you can look us up online too. But yeah, we're licensed everything, home, auto, life, health, and commercial. So
anything you guys could possibly need. I mean, it's not very often you get to see the true personalities of your insurance agents, and you listen to Ross and you listen to Quinn. They're good dudes. I trust them with everything as I am. I'm moving everything over with you guys. So
yeah, and it's just us here. So it's just me, Quinallo, and Ross Uglum.
And independent agents, so you can source quotes from all over the place, get you the best price, whatever fits your needs. Hit these guys up for whatever you need.
We have over 20 carriers that we can go through, so our job is to just find what works best for you.
Heck yeah. All right, let's get into questions. I got one from my guy Dylan Gress reached out on Twitter. He said, first, you talked about playing week one games against inferior opponents, how you're excited because it's the first time playing someone not your teammates. But what is it like after that? Playing a roast beef tech, you know, you'll beat by a zillion. What are the coaches like to keep you guys focused and ready to play to have a good week of practice and ready for game day?
First of all, roast beef tech might be my
new.
Might be my new, like, create a college on my, you know, my college football game.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So roast beef tech, what would the colors be? Probably just Texas Tech, like red and black or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if you should put like brown and
maroon
white,
and like pink Lehigh. Or something. Yeah, like horribly
gross.
I think you know, just to get into that first part here, playing someone not your teammates. Well, I guess the hard part is they never let you know how bad a team is. That everything you see during the week is getting ready. And it's, you know, like when I imagine these guys with Drake this week saw, you know, them, they either hung with or beat UND last year. you know,
kept hung with them,
kept it close
until the fourth.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I guarantee they saw stuff like that, you know, that they're not a team to be looked over. There is zero talk from the coaches about it being, you know, a cupcake or an inferior opponent, because you literally could go out and, you know, Drake has a 10 play first drive and they stick it to you all game. You just never know.
I mean, like the equivalent, like, what was that, 2010 or 2009 when Appalachian State beat Michigan in the Big House?
So I guarantee they looked over those guys looking to the next week.
Yeah. And, like, when you're a player, like, you obviously have the thought in your mind, like, even the guys that start do. They're just like, we want to be out of here by the first half.
Yeah.
But, like, that's also that's an in-house thing.
Absolutely.
And, like, that's not even said.
That's I mean, that's like, I was going to say, it's not even an in-house thing. That's just kind of like an understanding.
That's like your in-your-mind thing.
Right. Yeah. Because if you're playing somebody that, you know, you look as inferior and you play more than two drives in the second half, the starters are like, you know, what the hell happened? Something good is not going on. But, I mean, these guys are Division I football players too. They literally anything. I'm giving you all the coach talk right now, by the way, because, you know, Quinn and I walked into the Fargo Dome on Saturday and said, Drake stinks, we're going to win by 60. But, I mean, like, that's all you hear the whole week. It's, you know, the whole be humble, eat crumbs mantra that fits with NDSU. You can't look at anybody and say, hey, I'm, you know, we're going to win by 70 this week.
No, and, like, even if you do, so, like, let's say definitely did not happen. Let's say, like, you do think that.
Mm-hmm.
And because, like, I don't know. I don't know how to put this. Like, we could play, like, let's say we play, like, a, you know, we don't even do it anymore. But, like, let's say we play, like, a bottom tier D2 team.
Sure.
Would never happen. Mm-hmm. Even if you do beat them 70-0, or even if you beat them 60-40,
mm-hmm.
like, there are going to be things that happen during the game that, like, the coaches can either harp on or the players.
That was the bigger point that I was trying to get to.
And
is like,
even the players know what the coaches are going to get at before those meetings start.
Yeah, all those guys know that, like, you can't take a step back in a game like this. You have to move forward, especially with it being the first game of the year. But, you know, even later in the season, if you're playing a conference game that isn't as good, it's like the last thing you can do is take a step back and get shocked.
Well, then
all you're trying to, the entire Bison program is built on peaking the first weekend of January. That's when you want to play your best football. That's when you want to feel the best, be in the best shape. You're not going to look the best the first week of September. That's just a matter of fact. But all those guys do little things every week to add on to that.
Yeah, and the film is still important because, like, SDSU is going to look at, you know, that first drive that Drake had against NDSU and see, like, well, why did, you know, why weren't those gaps filled? Can we emulate something that will get the gaps as big as they were on that play?
Right.
Or, like, can we, like, mess up their fits?
Yeah.
So there's plenty of things that go into, like, even a blowout win that can, like good can be taken from it.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I talked to...
It's the first time, and especially an opener, it's the first time you're playing against another team.
Yeah, yeah.
So now both coordinators can be like, okay, well, like, that didn't work at all. So, like, we just have to put that away for a while. Let's bring it out.
I think one of the bigger things is, one, in general, you're going to get everybody's best shot. We know that. They're going to, you know, cut the cord and, you know, you're going to see everything you could possibly see from them. But I talked to some guys after the game, and Drake did stuff they've never shown on film before because they want to beat the Bison. So, you know, you're picking up blitzes and hitting run fits that you've never even practiced before, which is good. It keeps you on your toes and helps you learn to play the game faster.
When you play a team that isn't ranked as high as you, or, like, is, you know, all respect to Drake, but, like, they probably won't play in the national championship.
Yeah.
When you get a team like that, there are going to be so many tendency breakers.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, we're getting your best shot. And not only your best shot, and, like, we talked about it on the other pod, like, the first 15 plays on offense are all scripted. It's what they think their best plays are going into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily what the best plays are going to be, because, like, you'll see something on the defense.
To get a feel.
Yeah. But, like, it's your best 15 feel-good plays you have. So, like, when you have a drive like that first drive, I mean, obviously you saw the rest of the game. That was pretty much going to be their best shot.
Yeah.
Were those, you know, those first 15, those first one or two drives.
Well, what was the old thing we always heard? You know, if scout team gashed us or came up with a sack in the backfield, is bad defense beats good offense. And that goes both ways. The stuff that doesn't go the way it's supposed to is sometimes the hardest to defend or play against, because you've literally never seen it done on a football field before. So thanks for that question. The second one Dylan sent was, you don't play a lot of home night games, but you have road games. What do you guys do during the day with so much time to waste?
Yeah, that's a great question.
The only
home night games we ever play are the Friday nights for the playoffs. But
I think Western Illinois, we played a night one, and we've played some later ones elsewhere. I can't really remember off the top of my head.
I think you and I might have been like a – because the Western Illinois one was
like 7:30.
It was in 2018, and it was a 7 p.m. start. And what people don't realize there is that game gets done at like 10. It's an hour and 10-minute drive to the airport, and then, you know, the flight home.
Two-and-a-half-hour flight. It's not fun.
But I think the UNI one was like a 5 p.m., 4 p.m. Even that feels late when you're used to 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock starts.
So basically, from what I remember, is you go through the normal game day routine, like if it was going to start at 2:30.
Yep, the morning's the same.
Morning's the exact same. You'll get more downtime after that second walkthrough, or after that first walkthrough. And then... I only did it a couple times, but depending on how late it is, Kramer will bring you out, do an active stretch, another walkthrough, just to keep your mind on football, keep the limbs loose, get some blood flowing.
Yeah,
and then, so you're not just a rock when you show up.
And then you just go to the stadium a little bit earlier than you would as far as like pregame.
Yeah,
which is always fine. It's so much better to go to the stadium 3 hours before the game starts than to spend another hour at the hotel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's just nothing to do at the hotel.
Yeah, I think.
And really, you're just in your notes.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's the only thing. Because, like, you don't really want to, like, watch a bunch of football before. I never did. So, like, you're really just looking at the notes.
Yeah.
And you're, like, going through stuff. You're probably even watching film a little bit on the iPad, mm-hmm. seeing if you can pick up one more tendency.
Yeah, I think I just like to keep it chill. Yeah. That extra 2 hours, it's not much of downtime that you get. But always like to be with the guys. Never isolated myself to sit in a room or anything.
That's another thing too. Like, you had a couple hours to go back to the room, but not a lot of guys even went back to the room.
Yeah, we hang out in the lobby or
like the rooms,
the conference room or whatever.
And any room that had like the TV set up with like our film and stuff.
Yeah,
guys weren't necessarily watching film, but they were at least like with each other.
Yeah. So long story short, it's, you know, nothing too crazy. It's just filled up with, you know, maybe 2 hours of downtime, and
it's pretty much
football.
Really, what it is, it's pretty much just two game day mornings.
Yeah, and there is food in front of you the entire time.
Dangerous for us
guys like us who aren't losing 10 pounds a game day. Had to watch ourselves, and then you get on the plane, and there's two Chick-fil-A sandwiches and a full meal, and it's just. And Kramer, I don't know what you want me to do about being 10 pounds heavy, buddy. There's nothing I can do.
So we have a third question
mm-hmm.
that got texted to you, and I was informed. And we'll just answer it.
No, we're going to.
You want to read it out?
Oh, absolutely, I do. Let's read it first, and then we can say who sent it in. Sorry, this is bad radio. I'm pulling it up here. Question is, my first question for the pod, do you have to be greasy to be good on the O-line? Is that why Quinn wasn't as successful as others?
Hey.
That came from your lovely wife, Kendra, about to bear your first child in January, and she loves you more than she's ever loved you. Right now, she sent me that last Friday. We can do a full breakdown of the greasy list, but there is a definitive correlation with how gross you are and how good you are at offensive. There are some exceptions to the rule, but 4 out of 5 are usually gross. Dylan Radins was usually cleaned up, never really smelled bad, was gross. The other four are disgusting.
We don't have to get, we're not going to, I mean, we, I feel like before we dive into the list completely, mm-hmm. like 1 through 15, we would, I would feel more comfortable reaching out to everyone. Real big J journalist stuff, you know, getting their opinion on it.
Yeah.
And then doing a full breakdown later this year. But 2019, or no, it was 2020.
Yeah.
In 2020, there was a grease board with Coach Blas, and it was a room voted, you know, who's the most grease.
Yeah.
The greasiest to least greasiest.
By the way, he owes us some royalties because he's fully ran with Grease Gang.
Yeah. It's the name of it. It's there. It's Vandy's Ram Room.
Yeah.
They're the Grease Gang.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, if my memory serves me correct, which it might not, pretty sure I was voted least greasy.
Yeah, I mean, which is why, I mean, I think I was like third, and it's like we were first and third on the bench. I don't know what it is. There, it literally means nothing. There is no correlation. No.
But there is definitely greasiness in the room. And I'll just, this quick little story. I'm not going to, you know, out the person who did it. But when I was a freshman, it might have been my first day on scout team. We were going up against starting O-line. And back then, I don't know. I don't know what it is like now. I'm sure there's a couple guys. But back then, that whole room chewed.
Oh, yeah.
And like, and by 2020, there was only a couple guys that did it.
Yeah.
So, like, as far as gum health goes, they've definitely cleaned it up a little bit. But back then, it was, like, all of them did it. Mm-hmm. I remember, for some reason, dumb freshman, I didn't wear my gloves that day. I didn't really wear gloves in high school.
Sure.
Because, like, I played center most of the time. And then, like, on defense, like, I'm not just going to, like, carry the glove around.
Yeah.
So, like, it wasn't even until, like, halfway through freshman year where I'd actually, like, wear gloves and tape up because my hands got so beaten up.
Yeah.
But by that point, that early, I didn't, like, have gloves on. I remember putting my hand down on scout, and I get grossed out by, like, really weird things. But, like, I think anyone would get grossed out by it. I just put my hand down, and I, 2 seconds later, I hear a... And I just got the biggest chaw spit on my hand. And the guy looked at me and he was just like, oh, my bad, dude. Like he wasn't
absolutely meant to do it.
I don't know, because I had a pretty good, I don't know. I wasn't like hated as a freshman. Sure, so yeah. Like, I think the guys liked me enough to where they wouldn't do it.
If he actually said sorry, then he didn't mean to.
Jack Plankers used to get pretty mad at me sometimes.
Sure.
For pulling on his beard during plays. I was like, dude, your beard goes down to the chest plates.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what to do. But yeah. Like, I had a pretty good relationship with him. But like that guy that did it, his eyes, like he actually looked like he was like pretty like he was like, I'm actually sorry.
By the way, to show you what,
but
how.
Very greasy action.
Oh, yeah, big time. What level of animals these dudes, they're chewing during football practice. Animals.
Yeah, who needs a mouth guard when you can just put like a quadruple chaw
in? Oh, my God. That's unbelievable. I think being gross and nasty doesn't make you a better football player, I guess. But
there are gross and nasty football players.
Good football players, good yes. Yeah. And honestly, I think the level of greasiness in the Ram Room now has gone down in general.
Yeah.
Sundell's a clean guy. Nash is a clean guy. Cody is weird. I don't know how to describe Cody.
Cody's clean. He just doesn't have two front teeth.
Mason isn't gross. Jacobus? Stinky. Jake, I hope he listens to this because he knows he's greasy. No, he's proud of it too. He's proud of being greasy.
I don't know if you had anything left. This one might be a little bit shorter today, but the last thing I wanted to talk about.
We got another question, buddy.
Okay, go.
Jeez.
Sorry.
Friend of the program. This is from Mason Ankenbauer's father. He wanted us to share some Mason stories. He wanted us to share some dirt on Mason. I don't know what Mason is just.
He's a clean cut guy.
Yeah. Mason is great at his job. He's clean. He doesn't do anything wrong by the book.
The one thing about Mason, and like this is kind of the same as Bob. I think he learned it from Bobby, the old trainer. They have some pretty good like one liners.
Oh,
when you're just not expecting it. So and like they know everything about all the guys. So sometimes they'll just drop hints.
The training room is the mecca for dirt.
Yeah,
that's where everybody recaps what happened during the weekend.
That's where we went to like when spring of 2020. It was like me and Ross Kenley, we were in class together when the whole like Rudy Gobert thing happened.
Sure.
And like the next morning, like we get the email from like. Or no, because we had one spring ball practice that year.
Yeah.
Because we had one spring ball practice scheduled before spring break. If any coaches are listening to this, I don't know why you would do that. It just seems so weird to me because we'd never done that before. And I feel like they haven't done that since.
No.
So it was just like a weird scheduling thing, but that was the year. That was the real schedule. It wasn't like, oh, COVID's coming. Like, we got to get a practice in. Like,
That was the only spring ball practice. That was the OG practice. Yeah.
But. After that practice happened, like a bunch of us went into Bob's like office and we're just like, cause like the university hadn't shut anything down yet. You know,
it wasn't even, the
only thing that had happened before that point was the NBA thing. So like, well, that's when we went into Bob's and we're just like, what is going on? Yeah. So, and like, he didn't give us real specifics, but like, that just shows you, like, yeah, the training room is where guys, you know, hang out, recover. I mean,
it's like a safe space. It really is. It's just, you can go and chop it up with guys.
Bob's couch.
Yeah. I mean, that's, it's where, you know, even more than the locker room's spread out, but when you're in the training room, you're right next to guys that you, you know, might not talk to all the time. I think, I mean, this is like, this just made me feel really weird. It's like the whole blast to the past with COVID was, I think that December before we were getting ready to go to Frisco, I had a teacher who was Chinese, and he was like, hey, I have family back here. I have family back home, and I'm just letting you guys know that if it, you know, comes to this point, we're fully ready to go remote. I think there are like 3 cases in the U.S. and we're like, what are we getting ready for? You know, like, this is like, you know, back then it really was like what we remembered Ebola or, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, it was like, oh, it's contained. It's not a big deal. You go through Frisco, everything's fine. Then we get to spring ball and it's the Rudy Gobert thing. We have the one practice. We go on spring break and they're like, hey, we're looking at bringing everybody back in 2 weeks. It should be fine. And then it just snowballed, man, into everything. Like, games started getting canceled.
Well, and then, like, so we have the spring ball practice, and then we go on spring break, and then a week into spring break, maybe it was even, like, 4 or 5 days,
mm-hmm.
you get the university email that classes won't even start until 2 weeks additioned.
Yeah.
So they weren't even doing it online. They were just, like, because, like, you know, they didn't have the infrastructure to do online yet.
Yeah.
They were just like, we're going to postpone spring break another 2 weeks. So like now we're in like football. Then we got the stuff from, got stuff from university and then the team stuff. I don't know if it was a rule, but like we didn't do any football stuff if there wasn't school going on.
Yeah.
So then in my mind, I'm like, oh dang, we're not even doing football stuff till April.
Yeah.
And then, you know, everyone knows what happens. We don't have our first workout together as a team till June 2nd, I think.
Oh my God. God, did I made up for what I lost in my freshman year, and I gained my COVID 20.
Yeah.
I was so fat just from doing nothing.
We'll have to get a full episode on that.
But, yeah, talk about our weight struggles.
But yeah, Mason, I think one thing too, I always, because like, I think Mason had like a pretty good sense of humor, but he wouldn't always like, I think he would like hide it a little bit to be professional too. But like, it was always my goal to like at least, like go in, if I was going to go in there.
Yeah.
Luckily I wasn't really hurt that much. Like I would go use the hot tubs and cold tubs.
That's like the classic senior speech. It's like Bob never really, or saw you too much, or Mason saw you more than I wanted to.
Right. But like my goal was to always get a good pop out of Mason.
Oh yeah.
And cause then I would feel good. I'm like, okay, my comedy is still on par.
Still sharp.
Bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, well, it helped that, you know, Bob was a little older. He was more like the uncle figure, like somebody that you could go make laugh. But Mason was like around our age. I don't know how old Mason is, but he's not much older than us. He really is a funny dude, great at his job. I don't really have anything in specific, one that I probably could tell or to want to. But I think, you know, just the stuff about him putting up the sign that the hot tub was Willis's swamp because I spent so much time in there. Like just little stuff like that is just, you know, that's what keeps you sane during football. Yeah. Stuff
and I
like
think
that.
That's a credit to, and I'm sure Coach Entz is part of that process. Like, you know, who you hire in certain roles.
Yeah.
But like, I think that whole crew, I mean, between by crew, I just mean all the people inside the building that aren't a coach or a player.
Yeah.
It's the athletic trainers, BJ and his equipment staff.
The best.
Big John, who used to be here.
The best.
And the video guys. Like, obviously, the coaches and players are, like, important, and they play, like, a huge role, obviously, because they're the one doing the sport.
Yeah.
But, yeah, guys like us, I mean, we don't want to bother the coaches that much. I mean, I would always go BS with Blas a little bit.
Yeah.
But, like, the guys I would really get after are, like, Big John. Yeah, Big John. Yeah. You know, Dino.
Yeah.
And BJ. Cattell. All those guys.
It really is. Those are the guys that keep the morale high.
Yes.
The guys that you lean on when stuff gets tough. And while we're on that topic, I have to shout out to my guy, Sakiri Malula. Was under Big John for a couple of years. We're childhood best friends, man. We grew up in the same neighborhood, hung out all the time. He took a year to Clemson and then got the head video job here at NDSU. Yeah. So big shouts to Big Shaq,
back
man.
Home.
Yep. It's awesome. Let's talk about another good time. Let's chat about Big Deck Barbecue. Big Deck Barbecue is changing. We're going to have a little facelift here. If you see us on the shelf, it is the same great product. It's the same amount of sauce. Nothing is changing about what's inside the bottle. We have a new bottle that the cap doesn't clog. It's a flip cap, nice and easy, doesn't get dirty. And then we got a new label. Much to the entertainment of many on my personal socials and everything, we reached out and, you know, saw what everybody thought, and support was overwhelmingly positive. So we are we're just doing a facelift. It's still the same Big Deck Barbecue. We're still honoring our roots. You'll see the OG Big Deck Barbecue in the bottom left on the label. But we threw my boy Frankie, the Big Deck French Bulldog. He's the new mascot, the new face. So it's not mine anymore. Nothing is changing, folks. It's all still the same great product. If you put an order now on BigDeckBBQ.com, or if you go to the stores soon, you'll see the new stuff. It's still the same Big Deck you love.
Frank is jacked too.
Oh yeah, I want that body. Yeah, I got to get jacked so I can look like my dog. Yeah. Yep.
So
let's chat about the real good time.
There is, I mean, like we've talked about, I mean, being guys that didn't play that much. One thing, whether you played, whether you were like a 16-game starter or, you know, you never stepped on the field, The one thing that brought us all together after games were the night outs with the boys.
Yeah.
And, like, we get to this time of year now. Me and Kendra watched the game at home. She was working this weekend and got off, like, right at 2, so, like, we couldn't really go to the game. So, like, we went back. After that game ended, I just got, like, I was like, got a little bit of an itch.
Yeah.
And it's just like, so for those of you that don't, so like the game ends, I mean, takes forever to get the pads off, the tape off, shower. Yeah. If you're lucky, you get out of there by like 6.
Yeah.
6:30.
Yeah. Just the time to go eat.
Yeah. And then you go home, maybe change again. But usually you dress the O-line, I think mostly every position group, like you couldn't just wear sweats.
Right.
So like you had to dress up a little bit. And we've talked about game day fits last episode.
Yeah, it was
so,
like an unwritten rule.
You were always ready to go out and eat whatever in what you were wearing. So then you'd go out and eat with your family or friends, whoever went to the game or just whatever.
Other guys.
Yeah, that now would last for a couple hours. So then, like, you go home, look at the outfit, see if it was good enough or not.
Yeah.
Then you just go over to one of the boys' house at, like, 9 o'clock, 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there's just nothing like that time between going to the boys' house and then going downtown after you're 21 or whatever.
But. Yeah, and I think we're going to be careful not to incriminate anybody here, obviously.
You only go downtown if you're 21.
Yeah, obviously. But, like, I mean, there are stories that will never see the light of day outside of a BFPA meeting or something. Stuff that we've heard, stuff that we've encountered, man. It is literally like Varsity Blues, like stuff you've never seen before. It really is. It's just, that's what makes it great. And that's what cements lifelong friends. That's what makes us doing this podcast right now. The stuff after the game, guys that I could call if anything happened and I know they'd be here in 20 minutes. It's the stuff after the game. A sneaky part of all of that is, do you use the hand soap that you're given in the shower at the Fargo Dome?
Because
I was a double shower guy after the game.
Yeah. I was like off and on because sometimes I would bring stuff to the dome.
Sure.
But, this is going to get me mad. Any player listening to this knows that even if you played within the last 4 or 5 years when they redid the locker room.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all have our codes for the cubbies. There's a universal code.
You can
get into any of locker. Them. So there'd be days where just like soap's gone.
Yeah.
So whoever.
Bring the soap back.
Whoever went through the lockers like that, I want you in jail.
Yeah, I mean, I was.
Just ask me.
Yeah, I mean.
Or put it back.
Right.
That's what would make me the most angry is if I just saw it in, like, you see it, it's not in the cubby.
Yeah.
You're like, huh, whatever.
You see it in, and then you locker. See it.
Well, the whole, and like, I didn't have the balls to like call people out on sure. it. Like, it drives Kendra crazy, but like, I don't have the confrontation. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, whatever. Like, they must need it more than I do.
Sure.
But like, it would just, if I just see it like in the middle of the shower, the yeah. community shower, oh, I'm just yeah. like, oh my God, like who knows who touched it, when they touched it.
Dude, like, it's like,
it's just there. And then like, if it got brought in the shower like that, yeah. it's just there forever.
Right?
It's not going back.
It's the showers now.
It's not going back in my locker.
Yeah. I mean, how hard is it to ask, one, but two, it's soap. Just take a dollop in your hand and put it back in the thing. Right. I did that all the time.
Yeah.
I would either ask or just take a squirt and go into the shower.
Yes.
That's a whole nother topic. We can get into locker room etiquette. I think that'd be a fun topic, but it's just, you go do that. Like you said, you go eat with the parents, and then two things happen, and it's kind of on the vibe of what's going on. You either go to the pregame spot, and there was three or four spots where everybody met up, kind of rotated, I guess, but you're either staying there for the night, or like you said, you're going to the usual establishments downtown. But, you know, it's just, I mean, that's when you watch, you know, the big, it's usually like an Ole Miss, Alabama, the big time SEC game that night, get ready to go downtown. It's just,
yeah.
To be honest with you, like you said, you had that itch.
Oh.
Dude, I was exhausted Saturday after the game, and it was like 7:00, and I'm like, should I hit the boys up? Do I want to go out?
Oh, man.
I was asleep by 10:30. But it's just something about being done with college football. You know, the game's played. You went through all the media stuff now. You're back home. You ate. You're like, do I want to go to Fort Knox? Or, you know, dude, all that stuff.
And, like, not even, like, so, like, the house I always went to, like, so my best friends, they were at my wedding. It was Ross.
Incrimination.
Sorry.
They're all 21.
Yeah. Ross, Cole, Ross Kenley, Cole Jacob, Bo Pauly, Zeb Nolan, Garrett Wagner, Devin Kleiman. He lived in that house till the Kleimans left.
Victor Krzyzewski.
Vic, Ross Godfrey, and who was
just
that?
A bunch of boys.
Yeah, a bunch of boys. But that was always the house.
I mean,
forever.
Yeah, I also frequented that house.
Yeah, and like that was always like a, and like, no, it was not a party house, but that was just the house the boys went to before the bars.
Yeah.
And the moment I lived for during the season was just that moment where I sat down on their couch with any sort of drink at 10 p.m.
Because
I'd usually go there around like 9:30 or 10.
Because you just know the next 4 hours, you have nothing else to worry about.
Nothing to worry about. There are no worries in the world. We have the 24-hour rule.
Yep.
We can enjoy the win for 24 hours or soak in the loss.
Yeah.
I think.
I've done both.
Oh, man. I think my sophomore year, it was the first year I was on punt. And like we can dive into this more too, the difference between like, you know, because like, so I was a walk on, and like it's the same everywhere. But when you're a walk on and you finally get that chance to like prove yourself on a teams or the depth chart, and you mess that up, like you just know like, oh crap, like it's over for a while. And I'll take the blame. I got a punt blocked. And it's the funniest thing about NDSU. I think that if you get like a punt, if you get a kick blocked, you have like, it's like an 87% like chance you lose.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've gotten a punt or a kick block for like 4 years in a row, and we've won all 5 games or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure the coaches still hate it, but.
Yeah. I mean, just because it can be immediate points for the other
right.
team. Yeah.
But I got that blocked, and I was 21. So this story completely fine.
It's okay if you want to tell on yourself. Just don't tell on other people.
After that game, I just went to their house and sat on that couch.
You drank your sorrows away?
And just dug a hole. Like, but like,
please drink responsibly. Yeah.
But like the best part.
Talk to
like,
somebody if you're sad and not feeling well.
So here's the thing. A lot of guys came over to the house that night. That was one of the nights that we didn't even go out.
Sure.
So like, the best part is that I could have like done that at home by myself and would have just been terrible.
Yeah.
But I was around so many of the boys that night that, like, I felt completely fine.
Yeah.
And, like, I just ended up having a good time. So, like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
it's all
took a long path to that. But, like, you just can't replicate what that's like to, like, be with the boys. And, like, girls invited too. Kendra was always with me. Kendra loves all those guys that I mentioned earlier. So, like, we would always go there together. And it's really just, like, a big, like, it's just a hangout for a while. And, like, because, like, the next day.
It's the only
day,
time you get to be young adults.
And then, like, the next, you probably, I don't know if you went to, I never went to a mug night.
No, not in college. No.
Never did, like, the Knox 3-for-1s on Tuesdays, obviously. Like, we not, like.
But boy, did I take advantage of the sports bar $5 pitchers. Tend to close. You know what I'm talking about?
But, like, there are so many perks of being a college football player.
Yeah.
There absolutely is. But, like, one thing you do miss out on are things like that.
The true college experience.
Right. Like the 3-for-1s, the mug nights.
That's a sacrifice all for that. I would make every time.
Right. So, like, but I'm saying, like, That's why we just cherish those 4 or 5 hours on a Saturday night.
And if somebody gets in trouble next week, man, it is just like you won a game by 35 and you have to, like, go sit on your hands at home or pretend you did, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it was just more low key. But that goes into one. It covers both sides of this. There's nothing better than partying with the football guys. Because if you're, you know, if you're back home with high school buddies or whatever, you know, there's also instigators in the group. And, you know, if you go downtown, you have the target on your back anyway, being football players. But if you're with the football guys, stuff gets handled one way or another, where they either tell you you're being an idiot or, you know, whatever the circumstances may be. It very few and far between does it get out of hand when you're around other football guys. And that goes back into what we talked about with Kramer. If one guy is late, two guys better be late. If one of you is getting in trouble, the other one better be getting in trouble too because he had your back.
Yeah, there was no one in my friend group at least. And, like, no one I ever, like, went downtown with or, like, went to a party with that was just like, we're going to start fights tonight.
I've never been in a fight.
That's the last thing anyone on the team wants.
Yeah. And that's why everybody is so adamant about keeping it chill when everybody else is.
Now, I'm not saying that's never happened. I'm sure there's been a guy in the team that has done that in the past.
Yeah.
But I would say recently, like, whenever I was playing, I could see one or two guys maybe being like that, but they were, like, a lot older than me. So it was like, whatever.
Sure.
But, like, really, no one I ever. And, like, I made it a point, too. I didn't want to be friends with you if you were going to be doing that.
Yeah.
Every weekend.
Yeah.
It's like, like we've talked about, it's only 4 or 5 hours to, like, be, like, semi-normal college kid.
Yeah.
It's like, the last thing I want to do is, like, get called into the coach's office at Sunday morning at 7 a.m.
Right.
And being like, why are you, like, you know, because it is, like, why are you representing the program like that?
Yeah.
It's like, that's the last thing I want. And, like, I know there were a couple instances where, like, something like that may have happened. But, you know, for the most part, yeah, we're going out to have a good time. And, like, the last thing I want to do is be around a buzzkill.
Yeah, and that's what it is. I mean, it's just, like, one, you know you're going to be in trouble, and two, you have to deal with the repercussions of fighting.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, it doesn't give you a pass just because you're a football player. You're still going to get in trouble legally you get in a fight. It's just everybody's hanging out.
Yeah.
They're there to blow off some steam.
Well, then it's just, like, and like, you know me, like, I don't even, oh my God, I turned 25 in a few weeks, which sounds so old, but like, even at 25, I barely drink.
Yeah.
I'm like there has to be an event.
Big time social drinker. It's either like, Friday night or Saturday night and that's it.
But like, even in college, I was usually the guy who just didn't drink because I would just drive everyone.
Sure.
And like, I was fine with that. Because, like, as long as I was with the guys.
You also get entertainment from people being drunk and stupid.
A little bit. But there's a fine line. Because, like, I'll either be, like, super entertained.
Yeah.
And then someone will do something. They'll just piss me off. And you'll, I'm like, okay. Like, now I just want everyone to, like, get out.
I won't even say what I was about to say. But
that was always my biggest thing. Like, I barely, like, not barely, but, like, I rarely drinked.
Sure.
After the games.
Drinked. Nice.
Oh, man. That Lamar education you told me about.
Larimore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I really didn't. So, like, I wasn't going to be around people that just were going to be, you know, crazy drunk and, like, do stupid stuff all the time. Because, like, I was only there for the good vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Still am.
Yeah. That makes two of us, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. That's all we got for this week. We'll see you guys next week. Appreciate you tuning in.